Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911. Two man car. I'm Ruben Nava. My partner Jesse Romero. We make up the Tuesday Thursday show on Virgin Most Powerful and Jesus 911. We're here to talk about muscular Catholicism, muscular Christianity. And Jesse, you 10-8?
I'm 10-8. I'm reporting for duty, sir.
All right, Jess.
Ruben, I just want to mention that this topic that we're going to discuss today, it's a topic that's polarizing. Gets a lot of people very agitated. It triggers a lot of people, as they say. And the fact is, what we're saying doesn't represent the views of Virgin Most Powerful Radio or Terry Barber, the CEO. This is my personal reflections as a thoughtful Catholic. These are Ruben's personal reflections as well as a thoughtful Catholic, a lover of Christ, somebody who wants to get to heaven. Because our only goal is to get to heaven. And we know the only way to get to heaven, if you want to assure your way of getting to heaven, you have to receive the Eucharist as often as possible. Okay? And so we're going to share an article, a more recent article. I'm glad Ruben found it. It's called Ask Father, What's the Truth About the SSPX? And I say this because, again, this issue, boy, oh boy, is it like a lightning rod? I mean, yeah, you talk about this issue and good Catholics will start pounding the table and raising their voice over this topic. All I'm going to do, and myself and Ruben, we're going to read Father Z's article. He's a priest. He's got a very good reputation as an Orthodox Catholic priest. Of course, everybody comes in with their own, you know, none of us comes into a conversation without our own biases. I have biases.
Right.
My biases are fueled by Catholicism, by Scripture, by the Catholic faith. So I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to bring, you know, talk about anything without my worldview. It's going to color everything I do. And so just want to just put that out there, Ruben, as we start this. And I want to go through this article and get what Father Z says, and then we'll make some comment on it. So let's jump right into it.
Yeah, Jesse. And also, in addition to that, Jesse, what you just said, your positions are formed not only but by your life experiences too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, you have to take that into account.
Exactly. You know.
Yeah. I'm going to go right into the second paragraph. Here's where it really gets it. He says, first, because of the aforementioned online and thoroughly unedifying dust up, he's talking about good Catholics on the internet going back and forth about what you went to an SSPX mass. How can you can't do that. So that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He's referring to that good Catholics that'll argue, especially right now that we're locked down and some people are going to SSPX parishes.
Cause it's the only game in town, Jesse, in most parishes, the only game in town.
Yeah. And it's the valid Eucharist. So he says also because someone wrote to complain that in some of my daily 5-minute podcasts, I read paragraphs from a spiritual book by a priest of the SSPX, Father Patrick Trodick's work towards Easter. Imagine such a thing. Well, let me say something about that. I, as a Catholic presenter, I quote Protestants all the time in my presentations. C.S. Lewis, you know, other people, Billy Graham. If they're right, they're right. I don't care if they're Baptist, they're fundamentalist. And so I can't imagine why anybody would be offended that he's quoting a spiritual a book from the SSPX. If he's right, he's right, period. Okay, so Father Z writes, third, because of the whole COVID lockdown thing, many emails have come in asking, A, if it is sinful to go to masses at still open chapels of the SSPX, and B, is it sinful, I'm not making this up, to watch their live stream services on the internet. So Father C says, no and no. He goes, I'll dig into some of the issues about the SSPX in a moment. So he goes in the next paragraph. I preface this with my observation. From personal experience and some of the priests of the SSPX, they are mostly terrific guys, dedicated, zealous for souls, hard workers, and determined priests. Better formed in history, philosophy, liturgy, and theology than a great many of garden variety of priests I know. Not that we think all clergy should be educated. Sheesh. I would be, will be, I hope, honored to have them working alongside me in this diocese or whatever God or wherever God takes me. So here are the facts. Let me mention one thing. I want to get your reflection also. When I fly out at the Phoenix airport, Ruben, I oftentimes see these young priests in full cassocks. And so I'm like, wow, check out that priest in a full cassock at Phoenix airport.
Yeah.
And so I went over there to talk to them. Hey, my name is, guess what? Virtually, you know, all of them that I've seen with full cassocks in airports, crowded airports, they've all been SSPX priests. And these guys are young and zealous. They're reading their breviary. I've had some great conversations with them. So personally speaking, I, Jesse Romero, I've met several of them at the airport. I've had long conversations with them. I've been very impressed because I hate to say it, Ruben, a lot of other priests that I've seen in the airports are dressed in civilian clothes. And I recognize them. Hey, Father, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to go visit my family. You know, they got Levi's, a T-shirt, whatever. I'm not putting them down. But let me tell you something. What Father Z just said about the SSPX priest, that's my experience. That's not, you know, that's something that I've seen hands-on. What about you?
Yeah, that's, and you would want to think that all priests would be dressed in their cassocks because, you know, if
that's their uniform.
If exactly. And so if people need you, if people need, as a priest, if people need the sacraments, there's an emergency, they should be able to know who they could designate to come and help them, you know, just like a police officer. He's in uniform, so he stands out. He's set apart, you know. And I know because of the big scandals that have come out on the church, there are a lot of priests and good priests that are getting harassed and hammered, you know, in public when they're wearing their cassocks. And so, you know, I feel for them, and you almost feel like, wow, okay, give them a pass where they want to just go out and travel back home, or they want to just, you know, kind of go under the radar. And so I understand that, but I do feel that they should all be in their attire, you know. So, but I my experience just is a lot different. I went to,
you've been around it for a lot longer.
Well, yeah, you're, just
you got,
I
years,
mean,
Ruben.
I you know, I haven't, you know, even mentioned this on the show, but I mean, I went to an independent priest, you know, who was friends with the SSPX. He was in the Diocese of Orange when he was working. And
he was your spiritual director, I know.
It violated his conscience, you know, the changes that were going on, a convert from Orthodox Judaism. And so anyway, when my kids were growing up, he said, you need to take them to the SSPX. That's the parish, even though it's not a parish, it's a chapel.
They call them a chapel,
yeah,
right, because they don't have canonical status. I get it.
So he says that's where they need to go to school. They had an academy, a very good academy, in fact. And so
sure it was.
I sent
my Baltimore catechism all day long.
They were being taught from the big wigs of the church, you know, the big shots, the heavy hitters, man. And so some of my nephews. I had several of my nephews went as well, and they were just formed really strong. And the schooling they gave up, man, when they got to high school, they breezed through it because of their study habits that they learned from this academy. So
yeah, they teach them classical education, classical Catholicism.
Yeah. So normally I would have had to stay there with my kids and become a parishioner. I stayed for a little bit. But I got I got a pass because I was part of the board over at the chapel I was going to, and part of the choir. So
This is all part of your journey, Ruben. I mean, we all have a journey of faith, and this is part of your journey.
It's just the way it happened. I mean, there's other people that we know that took that route too. Friends of the show that have.
Yeah, some people come through Catholicism, through Orthodoxy, through the Anglican rite. I mean, these are our legitimate journeys of how we come to the fullness of faith.
Yeah. So I was around these priests. They were, you know, well-formed, and every sermon, every homily, everything that I would get from them was just, you know, I was embracing it. It was like I was getting, you know, a steak dinner from Ruth Chris's, as opposed to, you know, going to getting one of the little cheap Sizzler steaks, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I had some good experiences. You know, one of the knocks on traditionalists is that they're not as friendly. You know, yeah, there's going to be that in some instances.
Reuben, you consider yourself a traditionalist Catholic all your life since I've met you. Since we're young rookie cops.
That's right.
And you've always been one of the nicest guys I've known in the sheriff's department. I mean, I've seen you when you get mad, and you know, I don't want to cross you when you get mad. but you know, that's few and far between. I mean, everybody in the sheriff's department loved you to pieces. Except the bad guys.
Yeah.
When you got mad.
Even they, some of them loved me too, you know.
Yeah, that's right. No, you know what? You did leave a good reputation with a lot of the bad guys, man. They said this guy's a fair guy. And I think it's because of your formation. I really do.
Yeah, because I've been to several retreats, Ignatian spiritual retreats, Ignatian silent retreats, at their retreat centers, and I mean, it really helped form me. And so we'll get into this more.
Yeah, we'll get into it. We'll go right into the article as well. And then we also got Matt Arnold's going to call in. He wrote a book on this in the fourth segment. Matt, you know, he's got some reflections in this as well. So
okay.
We want, you know, hear all sides. You're listening to Jesus 911, two-man car. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. We're two-man car. We're talking about a controversial subject in Catholic circles, and we're referring to a blog post by Father Z. He's Father Zulsdorf. He's a traditional priest as well. He's got a big following on social media.
He's from the Diocese of, I think, Madison.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Diocese of Madison, that I've looked it up.
Right.
Yeah, he's a priest in good standing. Ruben, let's go through the paragraphs and let's, it says here, Father Z writes, here are a few facts. The SSPX is a priestly fraternity or society of priests. The SSPX does not have formal canonical status other than they are exercising a canonical right to associate with each other. Their association of the faithful does not now have canonical recognition. Hopefully one day they will be set up and recognized formally as a, say, personal prelature or some variant, kind of like Opus Dei. However, Canon 29.1 says that by private agreement amongst themselves, the faithful have the right to constitute associations for the purposes mentioned in Canon 298.1, which are, for example, when clerics or laity want to strive with common effort to foster a more perfect life or promote public worship, etc. The SSPX is an association of the faithful, no question. Could it have higher status? Sure. It doesn't have no status. On the 8th of December 2015, Pope Francis told the Catholic faithful that for the Holy Year of Mercy, they could go to priests of the SSPX for the sacrament of penance, and that they could be validly absolved. That provision was extended beyond the Year of Mercy in the 2016 Apostolic Letter, Misericordia et Misery. It stands today. This is a little odd because it was not really a formal grant of faculties in the usual and expected way to the priests of the SSPX, as when a bishop grants faculties to a priest to receive sacramental confessions. Those faculties are demonstrable with a document saying that Father so-and-so has the faculty, etc. In this case, there is no document that I'm aware of that explicitly grants faculties to the priests of the SSPX to hear confessions and to absolve. However, popes can do what they want in this regard. It's better when they do things in a way that makes things clear and with all the I's dotted. In this case, Pope Francis said that people can be absolved by SSPX priests, and that, as they say, is that. You know, that is that. Popes can do that sort of thing, whereas other entities, such as dicasteries of the Holy See, for example, the Pontifical Commission, Ecclesiae Dei, of old, and now the CDF, and diocesan bishops, have to use another procedure. So SSPX priests can validly absolve sins, even when there is no danger of death. You can go to confession to them, not just because there are no priests around. You can go to them because you want to, no question. So here's my comment. So Pope Francis recognizes that the SSPX priests, not only in the Year of Mercy, but it's that hasn't been taken away from my understanding and from Father Z's article, that the SSPX priest in the Sacrament of Confession, they operate how? In persona Christi. I do know this, that no pope will ever recognize a true schismatic like the Anglicans or the Lutherans or the Episcopalians. They're never going to say, you can go to them for the sacrament of confession and they're able to forgive sins. That would never happen because they're true schismatics and they're never in persona Christi. So they're not able to forgive the sins in and through Christ. But yet Pope Francis here is recognizing the in persona Christi priesthood of the SSPX, which again, this is above my pay grade. I'm going to be honest with you. Okay. I'm a simple Catholic, but again, all I want is to get to heaven. And all I want is to know that people right now, we're in a time of an emergency and some places, where the masses are entirely closed. I ask myself, I'm giving a hypothetical. There's an SSPX parish across the street. You've never been there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity to watch Mass on TV, which you get no sacramental graces, okay? Or you go across the street and you go to the mass with the SSPX, what would you do? Well, here's what my little simple Catholic mind would say. I'd say, well, Pope Francis has given them the faculties to celebrate the sacrament of matrimony and confession. Well, matrimony, the sacrament of matrimony entails a mass. So that means that they're in persona Christi if Pope Francis is allowing them to witness to the sacrament of matrimony, because they have to celebrate mass with it. And they work, by the way, they work with not all the diocesan bishops to convalidate marriages and stuff. And so that's interesting to me. I just can't wrap my mind around it, that they have that. I don't know if there's such a word, that they have like limited faculties. I don't know. I'm not a canon lawyer. I'm just saying that if I lived across the street from a parish and everything's locked down and I know Jesus is across the street versus watching Jesus on TV, well, I just have to tell you, in fact, you can even go to canon lawyers, you know, modern canon lawyers. There's a website called canonlawmadeeasy.com. They answer this question. Are SSPX sacraments valid? This is canon law made easy. Remember, we're talking about here an emergency. So what does it say here? From Vatican II, 1983, canon lawyers. It says about the SSPX. It says the Holy Eucharist. As has been discussed in great detail in the past, can a bishop forbid a priest to say a mass? A validly ordained priest always possesses the power to consecrate the Eucharist and thus to celebrate a valid Mass. Therefore, even when a priest says Mass against the wishes of the diocesan bishop in whose territory he is, the Mass is valid, as the Eucharistic sacrifice really does take place. The power to consecrate the sacred species can never be taken away from a priest by anyone on earth. Logically, then, the hosts, which are consecrated as an SSPX Mass, are truly the body of Christ, so anybody who receives Holy Communion at such a Mass does so validly, okay? I'm a simple guy. I'm just saying this. No Mass in your diocese. You live across the street from the SSPX. Are you going to watch a TV Mass, or are you going to walk across the street? And I just quoted you right now, 1983 canon law, canon lawyers. It's called Canon Law Made Easy. They answer all these questions, okay? I know this is a very difficult situation. This is a time of emergency. And it's pretty obvious to me what I would do if I lived across the street. Ruben, yeah. You want to continue with the article?
Well, let's just face it, Jesse, you do have a parish at SSPX.
There's one in downtown Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it's full of Catholics every Sunday from all the parishes.
That's right.
All the serious Catholics that I know are going there. You know why? Because they're telling me, I'm not going to watch Jesus on TV. I'm going to receive the Eucharist. And if this is the only parish that's... Oh, and these are the strongest Catholics in the Diocese of Phoenix, the ones that run the radio station, the ones that write for the Catholic newspaper, the ones that run the Marian conferences. People don't go there normally. They go to their parish or they go to the FSSP. But we're not talking about normal times right now. Ruben, you want to continue with the article?
Yeah, so... on the 27th of March, 2017, the CDF, the Congregation of Doctrine of the Faith, informed all the bishops of the world that they could give faculties to SSPX priests to witness marriages. As in the case of hearing confessions, marriages require that a priest have the appropriate faculty. There had been considerable debate about the validity of SSPX witnessed marriages. And witness marriages, because remember, when the couple confect the sacrament on each other, you know, the priest stands in as the witness of the church. And so what Francis did removed doubt. The priests can now have the faculty themselves, and they can work with a local diocesan priest. Since then, I think most, not all, diocesan bishops have worked with local SSPX priests in this regard and simply given the SSPX priest the faculty. Now, my niece, you know, my sister's daughter, studying to be a doctor, she's her fiance, and she brought him into the Catholic faith, and they were attending an FSSP church in Arkansas, where she was going to school at. Now they're getting married, and she's going to come home, and she's going to go down here. She's going to come to, she wants to be married at the SSPX chapel in Arcadia. This issue came up because I was the sponsor of their fiance. We had him on the radio show, Alex, if you remember, oh, yeah. Jess. And so their priest, a very good priest, he contacted me to make sure that I was legit, you know, that I was you could be his sponsor. And we had a lot of long conversations. He really wanted to come and perform the marriage here. And there were some other issues that came up, but you know, the bottom line, because he was concerned about the faculties of the SSPX. He didn't want them to, you know, just come into the church, Alex coming into the church, and then he wasn't familiar with the way they that the faculties are given. So the SSPX priest, he goes through, you know, Archbishop Gomez, Bishop, and he gets the faculties from them. So it's going to be all legitimate, and that's, you know, God willing, you know, it's supposed to be May 23rd that marriage takes place. So I've seen that firsthand, and this issue about the faculties. So going on to the article, CDF did not say that up until now the marriages witnessed by the SSPX priests were invalid. The apostolic letter Misericordia et Miserere did not say until now the absolutions given by priests of the SSPX were invalid. That's food for thought. That moves the goalposts significantly. We can just think of the SSPX priests and confession and marriages in the same way that we did before those grants. Furthermore, I left the important word out. We can't just think of the SSPX priests and confession and marriages in the same way that we did before those grants. Furthermore, and pay attention because this is really important, Father Z says, suspended priests cannot receive faculties. If the SSPX priests can receive faculties, and they have all over the place, then they're not suspended.
That's a very powerful point there.
It is. And so says the masses celebrated by SSPX priests are celebrated in a Catholic rite, no question. As I've written a zillion times on this blog about fulfilling Sunday and holy day obligations, in Canon 1248.1, we read that a person who assists at Mass celebrated anywhere in a Catholic rite, either on the feast day itself or the evening of the preceding day, satisfies the obligation of participating in the Mass. Again, the SSPX priests can use a Catholic rite, the Missale Romanum, and other liturgical books of the Latin Church. And they use the Canon 1962, Jesse. So yes, you can choose to go to Mass at the SSPX, not just because there's no other Mass, but because you want to, no question. Again, remember, this is Father Z's point he's making, and he's laying out his arguments.
His argument.
Like a good attorney, he's laying the foundation for, you know, you have to see all the facts together. As the detective, I want to know everything. I want to get all the facts and make a reasonable conclusion based on the information and the evidence.
The next section is interesting.
Okay. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Yeah.
Attention VMPR listeners. We've talked at length about the attack on our youth through popular culture media, but what if I told you there was someone trying to make a difference? The newest novel, Britfield and the Lost Crown, by C.R. Stewart, is reaching schools across America and sharing Christian morals alongside great storytelling. What if I told you that this mission needs your help? To reach more children, Britfield and the Lost Crown need funding for their ongoing book tour. If you're interested in making a difference, if you're interested in buying the book, or are curious and want more information, go to BritfieldInstitute.org. That's BritfieldInstitute.org. Or email media@Britfield.com. Help open up the world of Britfield and the Lost Crown to people everywhere.
Finding the right doctor for your obstetric and gynecological needs can be difficult. Do you want a doctor with impeccable references and ethical practices? One who is trustworthy and well-researched? Dr. Aceta is that doctor. As a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community, Dr. Aceta provides expert care guided by his Catholic teachings, focusing on the patient's needs according to his own specialty. Call Dr. Aceta for all your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-595-5617. Again, 661-595-5617 for quality care without compromise.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back. Two-man car, Jesus 911. We're 10-8. We're giving some Catholic briefing, some intel, some important intel to equip you for, to make your own decisions. And we're not trying to sway you one way or the other. We're just giving you some information that we're gleaning from Father Z's blog post, and he has some good points here. So
yeah, and in fact, Matt Arnold's going to call up in the last segment. He's got probably a different take. I'm not sure. I don't know what Matt has to say, but he's actually written a book in this regard. Ruben's definitely got a strong opinion. Obviously, that this was just part of his conversion. I have my take on this as well. All of us are faithful Catholics. And all of us want to do the right thing. None of us are, you know, trying to promote, schism or error here. This section is where I totally, this is word for word what I would tell somebody. And Father Z and me were thinking exactly alike right here. So they're asking them. So as to the question, is it sinful to go to an SSPX mass? Answer. He says, it depends why you are going there. He says, what's your motive? That's the question. Frankly, yes, it would be sinful to go to their masses out of sheer desire to hurt your local parishes or priests, or because you hate the local bishop or you hate the pope or some other aspect of the church, blah, blah, blah. Frankly, yes, it would be sinful to attend a parish where there are liturgical abuses that you happen to know are abuses, but you like those abuses and you don't care about authority. Frankly, then Father Z says, no. It is not sinful to attend an SSPX parish if you are seeking sound liturgy and preaching and other good people who desire the same, no question. As a matter of fact, you can contribute money to their collection. It's a matter of justice. If you receive services from them, you can contribute. He says, sometimes I hear the claim that the SSPX is not in communion with the Catholic Church. I've heard that they're not Catholic. These claims are absurd on the face of it. No reasonable... That's right. And even half-informed mind can conclude that they're not Catholic. They are clearly not Protestants or heretics. They are clearly not Orthodox or schismatics. And I am not sure that there's such a thing as imperfect communion. What would that be exactly? You're either in communion or you aren't. In the past, sometimes we've seen statements, for example, in the decree by the Congregation for Bishops in 2009, which lifted the excommunications of the SSPS bishops. That such a gesture aimed at full communion and as well as proof of visible unity. It doesn't say that there wasn't or isn't communion or unity. It aims at making both more apparent, which is not the same thing as bringing either one about. Moreover, the three bishops of the members of the SSPX, excluding the fourth, a separate case, are not excommunicated. Pope Benedict XVI lifted that excommunication incurred in 1988, probably with retroactive effect in 2009, and the priests are not excommunicated. Also, it is claimed that the SSPX has been in schism since 1988 because the illicit consecration of bishops by Archbishop Lefebvre was a schismatic act, and that's quoted in Ecclesiae Dei, Adflicti number chapter 3. However, it takes more than an act to create a real schism. It was obviously, manifestly, not Archbishop Lefebvre's intention to set up a separate or rival church, or to make himself or someone else an anti-pope, or to create other aspects of a true schism. The SSPX priests quite openly have used names of the popes in the Roman canon during Mass.
Yes.
They have recourse to diocesan tribunals in marriages and other matters. They follow the decrees of the Sacra Penitentiaria Apostolica in the matter of indulgences. They accept faculties for marriages from local bishops, and recently they communicated to their followers the dispensations and provisions given by local bishops in this time of the coronavirus lockdown. These are not the acts of schismatics. Here's my take, because I'm going to be off on the next segment. Ruben's going to just be on with Matt. I've got another radio interview I have to do because of my new book. Here's what I'm going to say. I think Father Z, this is his take on this as a very well-formed Catholic priest, as a holy priest. Ruben's take is probably somewhat similar. My take is this. If things were normal, here's what I, Jesse Romero, do. This is what I do. I go to an FSSP parish on Sundays, and from Monday through during the week, I go to Novus Ordo parish down the street, okay, for daily mass. That's what I do. Okay? However, we're not in a normal situation right now. Both the FSSP and my Novus Ordo parish, they're not celebrating masses. You could watch it on TV. So all I'm saying that right now, I don't blame anybody. I don't blame, and there's good Catholics all over the Phoenix Diocese that I know that are going downtown to the SS, and they're practicing one family to a bench and all that safe distancing. They're doing all that, and they've increased, I think, their masses as well. If somebody's going to watch mass on TV or go get Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, I don't blame anybody in the Diocese of Phoenix for going there at a time like this. Now, at a normal time, I probably wouldn't go there, and I haven't gone there in a normal time. I'd go to the FSSP or the diocesan parish down the street. But we're not talking about normal times. Ruben, your take.
Yeah, great, Jesse. I'm not an apologist for the SSPX because I go to a diocesan Latin mass. Okay, so I am not a parishioner, but I'm friendly with them. I have relatives that attend on a regular basis. So, this goes all the way back. I don't know if there's anyone on the show. There might be just who don't even know what we're talking about because, Archbishop Lefebvre.
What are these crazy guys talking about?
Yeah, just a quick summary, about the background of the SSPX. It was started about 1970, seminarians approached Archbishop Lefebvre. Now, this guy was a theologian. He was a doctorate in theology from Rome. He was at the Second Vatican Council, was one of the conservative bishops sitting there, listening to the conference. They approached him. He was already retired. They said that they needed a new seminary because the Roman seminaries were teaching a new religion. So this is 1970. Remember, it was promulgated in 69 and really went into effect in March of 1970, the new mass. So the Roman seminaries were teaching a new religion. They told him the religion of Vatican II, which is not Catholic, they said. So Lefebvre founded the SSPX with the approval of the local bishop. Obviously, the SSPX was dedicated to the preservation of the traditional Catholic faith. And the SSPX is a missionary society and operates independently from the local bishops using supply jurisdiction. And the SSPX steadily grew and became a worldwide organization operating in many countries. The current website is, you can go to their website and see how many priests they have, over like 600 priests or something, Jesse. It's getting huge. In 1988, Archbishop Lefebvre, as he was getting older, he thought, when I die, he saw the writing on the wall. They're going to do away with this organization. He was the Donald Trump of his time, for lack of a better term. He was the one standing in place in the way of the church coming and crushing this this organization. So,
well, Ruben, you said the mass that he was ordained in, I mean, that was one of his arguments. What the mass that I was ordained doing, the mass that I've been doing all my life,
the mass of all the saints and all the popes.
Now it's illegal?
Yeah.
I mean, that was his argument, really. He said, how could something that was the expression of Catholicism yesterday for 1,500 years, now today it's illicit?
Right.
That's an intellectual charting horse. I said, wow, he makes a very good point.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, anybody who goes to the Latin Mass right now, we have to thank this man right here for whatever you think about him. I think he's a holy person from what I've read.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't have a Latin Mass, Ruben, if it wasn't for him. He stood, as Bishop Olmsted says, he stood in the breach. And he took all the criticism.
Right.
And anybody who's enjoying the Latin Mass right now, you have to thank this archbishop. Or it'd be gone.
Exactly. We would have no fraternity St. Peter. We'd have no Christ the King.
No SSP.
Right?
Yep. No diocese.
And I'll tell you,
masses.
Going back to the 80s when this was going on, they would, they gave us an indult mass in Latin, the Latin indult mass that, you know, the Cardinal Mahoney was he was in power there.
I remember when you used to drive over to the LD Diocese to find one every Sunday.
Every Sunday, you had to go to a different church. They made you drive, and ironically, a couple were set up right near the SSPX chapels. One in San Pedro, and one in they had one in Duarte, which is close to Arcadia, where the other SSPX chapel was. So they strategically placed the indult mass there to try to draw people away from the SSPX. But they would make it inconvenient for you, so you get tired of driving. You know, like you were saying, you know, who wants to drive 2 hours to get to a place, and when you can just go, you know, 15 minutes or 5 minutes away. And so that was what was going on back in the 80s. And
you went through all that, huh?
Yeah, I did. And so, I mean, I would rather, I guess this is my point, since you're going to be gone the next section, I would just rather not get a go to a Novus Ordo where I see abuses and then I start judging people and I start, really, it could, as Archbishop Lefebvre said, that it could destroy the faith. That was his take, is that you could actually, if you're hearing it day in and day out, all the preaching and all and the lack of Catholicism in the liturgy, you know, that they don't make a, for instance, it's not clear that's a sacrificial nature of the mass. You know, they don't have the real proper respect for the real presence with communion in the hand. All these things. I would rather not go to those abuses. Now, do I go to the SSPX now? I could still go, but I go to the local diocesan church. So, again, I'm not an apologist. I'm just saying I don't have a problem with going. And after looking at this, but that's just my opinion.
Opinion is, I don't have a problem going in case of emergency, like right now. So I'm probably more nuanced than Ruben is on this.
Yeah.
If all the masses were open, no, I'd stick with those that have canonical status without a doubt.
When you're saying it's an emergency, we've been saying as a traditional, it's been emergency since the new mass.
I get it. I hear the argument, and there's a lot of validity to what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's just go on. There's a couple other things here.
Yep.
Some don't like the SSPX because they say that people should attend the traditional Latin Mass and not the Novus Ordo. How shocking. I've never heard the priests of the society say that the Novus Ordo is invalid. They say that it's minimally valid. I've heard them say that because it has a valid consecration. But I've never heard him say you can't go to the Novus Ordo because it's invalid. So
there goes Ruben's heard it himself because he's been there.
Okie dokie.
All right, Ruben, I'm side. Out. I'm 10-7.
Okay, all right, yep. We'll see you on the other side. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, I am a one-man car momentarily, and we'll be having one of our other hosts call into the show. It's Matt Arnold. I think we have him on the line. Matt, are you with us?
I am with you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Matt, loud and clear. You're 10-2, as we would say in law enforcement. You're 10-2, loud and clear.
Good.
Okay, Matt, so you've probably been listening.
All I know is 10-7. That's time for lunch, right?
Don't forget to call me for lunch. That's right, man. That's the okay. Most important one. Good for you. So we've been talking about, Father Z's blog, and as a, traditional priest, he puts out some good information. And So tell listeners about your book, because you have a story to share. You're a traditional Catholic. You have an interesting journey. Go ahead and share with the listeners where you came from and what your book is all about.
Right. Well, I wrote a book called Confessions of a Traditional Catholic. And it just tells a story, because I'm a convert to the Catholic faith from New Age beliefs and practices. I was way out there. I came into the church in 1996. By 1998, I was working full time in the Catholic apostolate, doing evangelization, apologetics, and a radio show on EWTN with Scott Hahn. You know, I have a tendency to jump into things with both feet, as you can imagine.
Yes.
But the problem is that as the years went by, I started seeing this tension between what I know is the official teaching of the church and the church's practice at the local level. You know, a lot of liturgical abuse, a lot of heterodoxy in the homilies and so forth.
Yes.
And I reacted against that. Ultimately, I found a diocesan church in the Diocese of Orange that was celebrating the Indult Mass, which you mentioned earlier in the program, the Ecclesia Dei Indult Mass. And it liked it very much. I thought, wow, this is what I've been looking for all this time without even knowing it, you know? And, but when that got taken away, because when the priest retired, the bishop, our former bishop, decided that the Mass would retire with him, it became a matter of to whom shall we go? And I wound up ultimately going to an independent chapel in Orange County, which was, it's a validly ordained priest, and you guys have made all the arguments that the Mass is valid. You know, it's in a Mass in the Catholic rite by a validly ordained priest is a valid Mass. But the thing, though, of course, is it's not licit. And that became the turning point for me, is when Pope Benedict lifted the excommunications and liberated the traditional Mass, and there was once again a diocesan alternative. I left a skid mark on my way back into the official church, because laicity matters, is the point that I'm trying to make. And the other thing is that there's just, you guys talked about Archbishop Lefebvre, and of course, you can't do a man's whole life and work in a single internet article or a radio program.
Right.
But, he was one of the authors of the original schemas for Vatican II. They got thrown out.
Right.
And he was the Ottaviani intervention, right, about the new Mass.
Yes.
Was written by a group of theologians, but it was under his direction. So he was very much invested in this movement before there was a movement.
Right.
And the thing is, though, there's SSPX, as Father Z points out, they have no canonical status. It doesn't mean they don't have any status, but they don't have a recognized ministry in the church, because they're not in communion with their local ordinaries. And until that gets regularized, it is, Father Z at one point in the article, as I recall, he says, they say they're not in full communion. He says, what's that? You're either in full communion, you're either in communion or you're not.
Right.
But I think that maybe, that might be, of all the things he said, the one that's maybe a little simplistic. Because, Archbishop Lefebvre himself, I mean, I'm looking at it, he said we never wish to belong to this system which calls itself the conciliar church, and we ask for nothing better than to be declared out of communion with, and he called the church that defines itself with the Novus Ordo Missae an impious communion of the ungodly. Okay, that's pretty direct, you know. So, you know, there is, and but you can see that's the difference between the 1974 when he, or 70 or whenever when he started the SSPX, and in 1998 when he's making the consecration of those bishops, he's now, you know, I mean, he's really dug his heels in. And I think that's the danger for the faithful, because you start going to SSPX chapels or whatever, because, like for me, I'm just looking for a liturgy that's not crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm already going to an illicit mass because of all the craziness.
Yeah.
But
so you're
I'm looking for one that looks Catholic.
So I say, so your position would be, because there's no canonical status, that's what would keep you from going to the SSPX. If you did.
Right. And I'm not saying, obviously you can, it's a Catholic rite. They're validly ordained priests. You can fulfill your Sunday obligation. I don't have any problems with any of that.
Yeah. Cause I have quote upon quote from, you know, members of the church that you know, from the Pontifical Commission of Ecclesiae Dei, saying that it does.
Well, yeah, well, even all the way to Pope Benedict. Yeah, there's no question. But Pope Benedict is also one who says, you know, but there is still, you know, they're not in full communion with the church because they don't have their canonical status. And that's the thing that we're hoping for. That's the thing that everybody's, I hope, praying for,
yeah,
is that gets healed. And it's hard, though, when you get into a position where you're kind of outside of the official thing, there's a tension there.
Right.
And a lot of people, I'm not saying everybody, I'm not pointing any fingers, but in my own case, I could see myself, you know, trying to find more and more justification for doing what I was doing.
But you're fortunate that you have a mass, a traditional Latin mass that you can go to that's, you know, in the diocese.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, you know, what about those people that across the country that, you know, they're living out in the sticks, and you know, there's, you know, the only thing that's traditional is a chapel of the SSPX, you know, and
right. So, well, that's, well, they don't really have any choice. And okay. Father Z was very clear, and this is very true. All of the official statements of the church, you know, if you're the faithful and you're going to this chapel just because you want to go to a liturgy that's faithful and so forth, then there isn't any impediment. You can go there and make your Sunday obligation there, even if there's a Novus Ordo church that you could be going to.
Yeah.
But if I would suggest, and I think you said this in the last segment, if there's a diocesan church that has a traditional Latin mass, it would be better to go there because of that, especially that issue of laicity, because, you know, it's not only valid, but also licit.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I have no problems with that. Just for the listeners, you know, they may say, well, if I go to the SSPX, am I in schism? Well, we've already, you know, said and the church has already said
no
schism. Yeah. Remember they had,
right.
It was that Hawaii 6 case out of Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
The local bishop, he said he excommunicated the six laymen that were going to the SSPX. And then, it went up all the way up to Rome, and
right.
Even it was Cardinal Ratzinger that ruled on it. And he says that just because they're going, it's not sufficient to constitute the crime of schism. And they said that this is, regarding your inquiry, he says, I would point out at once that the directive on ecumenism is not concerned with the Society of Pius X. The situation of the members of this society is an internal matter of the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. That they are Catholics is beyond question.
So yeah, this
of course the SSPX, they're not schismatics, no. They're not or heretics. We're not talking about Lutherans or the Orthodox.
Yeah. So
they don't deny any of the Catholic faith.
He says of course the Mass and sacraments administered by the priests of the society are valid. The bishops are validly but not lawfully ordained. And so what's required with reconciliation with the Catholic Church, and this is something greatly desired by the Bishop of Rome. Unfortunately, at this time, it's just not happening. But
here's the thing, Reuben. I think that if I was to try and put my finger on it, it would be that people who are supporters of the SSPX, or, you know, I mean, even if they don't go, if they just think, yeah, those guys, you know, they got a bad shake or whatever, need to recognize that the situation is still irregular, that they do need to be reconciled, right? It's not like, oh, well, Benedict lifted the excommunication, so everything's fine now.
No. Yeah.
Right? Because they're still operating outside of the communion with the local ordinary, and that's what needs to be reestablished.
Well, we can call it a regular, not just to play devil's advocate. Well, look at mm-hmm. the things that are going on in Rome. You know, look at who they're
allowing. There's no question.
Right. They're allowing, heretical priests to preach from the pulpit, you know, on same-sex marriage and whatnot. The Pachamama.
Oh, well, you know, and the thing is, that's been going on at my pair, you know, at the local level here since I became Catholic. There's been at least 25 years of that, and I'm sure longer. You know, I mean, it's very disturbing.
The times we're living in are definitely irregular. So we have to just, you know, stay true to Holy Mother Church, stay close to the sacraments. And as we're wrapping up the show, I think we laid out the arguments of Father Z and Matt Arnold's come on and he's saying, yeah, there's not schismatic. You can't attend. It's not sinful. No. Fulfills your Sunday obligation. You know, if you have a parish or that you can receive the traditional Latin Mass from, and then it's listed and valid.
That's the better choice.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with that. We can agree. We can agree on that. And so,
yeah. Hey, before we go, I know you're going to need to wrap the show up. I just wanted to say quickly, I make a distinction between a traditional Catholic and a traditionalist Catholic. The traditionalist, I think, is somebody who, you know, maybe thinks the new Mass isn't valid or the Pope's not the Pope or, you know, that kind of Vatican II was a do-over, that sort of thing. But the traditional Catholic doesn't, you know, in my book, that's not somebody that necessarily goes to the traditional Mass every Sunday, but someone who can say the act of faith and really mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
To be a traditional Catholic just means that you accept everything that the Catholic Church teaches and has always taught.
Right.
And in that sense, I'm hoping that everybody listening to this program is in fact, you know, deep inside a traditional Catholic.
Yeah, that's right. Matt, so how could people get your book and tell them the name again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Confessions of a Traditional Catholic. Yeah, and you can get it from Ignatius Press, Ignatius.com or Amazon, any of the usual places. Also, just quickly, tomorrow I got the second episode of my new program on VMPR. I'm on a show called No Nonsense Catholic, in keeping with my idea that we are all of us traditional Catholics as long as we hold the true Catholic faith. Call it No Nonsense Catholic. That's on right after Terry and Jesse show on Wednesdays. And coming up next month, I'm going to be doing a new show on Fridays with Father Chris Alar of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception called Understanding Divine Mercy.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay. I just also throw out that a friend of the show, Dr. Taylor Marshall, has a good podcast on this. He interviews Father Paul Robinson of the SSPX. It's quite lengthy, but, you know, there's some good points made. And so you can watch that, too. Thank you for listening. We are getting ready to pass the torch off to Hands-On Apologetics and Gary Mashuda. Thanks for joining us. Remember, keep the faith. Stay close to the sacraments. For communions and your confessions, and we'll see you tomorrow. Same God channel, same Christ channel, same Christ time.
Saint Faustina's prayer for priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.